Getaway Friday, the last Friday in the month of October, Friday, October the 27th, 2023, 15 minutes past the hour, Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears, is on the air each and every Friday morning, 9:15 to 10 a.m. live on this station. Also repeats Sunday morning, 8:15 to 9 a.m. and Wednesday and Thursday afternoon, 3:15 to 4 p.m. You can get it live on the website, WWGH1071.com. Go to Program Archives. It's the first show under there. Or later today, usually Adam does a tremendous job of getting that up on the Facebook page. Go to the Facebook page later on this afternoon, and it will be there with a picture of Pastor Whitaker and myself. Look for that picture, hit the link, and away we go. Pastor Whitaker, here we go. Interesting times on this last Friday in the month of October.
Yes, good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Good to be with you today. And once again, I'm going to plug Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions. They do such a wonderful job with Medicare and Medicaid. And give them a call. Give Jeff a call, and they'd be glad to help you out there. A couple things I want to talk about today. Eventually, I'd like to get our, if you'd be okay, Scott, I want to talk just a little bit about issue one for just a minute, but then leave that and head into, I want to talk about a subject that about unfairly being tarred with the same brush. You've heard that statement before, but I think that it would be a good topic to talk about.
I think so.
But anyway, in issue one, some things I wanted to point out, and people just need to know the truth of what is open and what is not in this. In issue one, first of all, it will be a constitutional amendment, which means there's no recourse. Once it's set into our state constitution, it's set into. And in the reading of it, in the legality of it, you have to not just pay attention to what is it written in it, but what is not written in it, and what has an open end, so to speak. And when it talks about the broad legal sense of this, it says every individual has the right to carry out one's reproductive decisions, limited to but not including contraception, fertility treatment, one's own pregnancy, miscarriage, and abortion. Now, by leaving there not limited to, it also leaves the door open. Every individual would mean everyone from age of birth to death, so you get, there's no age limit there. They could also use this bill to include sex change operations, those kind of things for kids, so that was open-ended. Next thing we get into says the state shall not directly or indirectly burden, penalize, prohibit, or interfere, or discriminate against an individual's voluntary exercise, a person or entity that assists in an individual's exercising this right, unless the state demonstrates that it is using the least restrictive means to advance the individual's health in accordance with the widely accepted evidence-based standards of care. Wow, that's a mouthful. And what it just mainly means is any individual that helps assist someone along the way in counseling or whatever the case, no matter how the kid is, how the adult is, whether they're male or female or what they're doing, they could never be legally brought in for doing something illegal in helping them do that. And then there's the one where it says, however, abortion may be prohibited after viability. Okay? But in no case may such an abortion be prohibited if the professional judgment of a pregnant patient's treating physician is necessary to protect the pregnant patient's life or health. Now, one thing we want to point out in this is that the treating physician can be the person that is doing the abortion. So they make the ultimate decision whether that is. Now, the other thing is, too, when they talk about the patient's life or health, health can include, it's not just physical health, it can include emotion, financial, and more. Now, the problem with that is that they can, an abortion can be done on a person all the way up to birth, past that viability point, if it's going to affect their emotional well-being, their financial health. So basically it opens the door wide up. I don't understand. Someone asked me one time, yeah, but what person would ever do that? What person would ever do? Well, the point is that if you say that it's okay for that to happen, then I guess you're a person that possibly could do that because you've given your stamp to it being done. The other thing that is taxpayer funded, and then it says repeating the word individual throughout here, it takes the decisions completely out of the parents' hands, completely, even for a young child. So I don't want to get too much more into this, but the point is that read and understand. I know there needs to be some discussion on what we currently have. I think that we need to be at the table discussing where we're at. And certainly one of the misleading things on the commercials that say that women aren't being taken care of for miscarriages, which is a blatant lie. That's never been halted in this state. And as far as the situation of rape and incest, that's a situation that's different there's discussions on, and there's alternatives there too, but I don't want to get into that too much today. But the point being that this bill is a huge overreach, and there's a lot of money behind it, and there's a huge industry behind it that stands to benefit unbelievably. But once that bill passes, these things that are going to you'll be jaw-dropped about are going to be legal in the state of Ohio, and we can do nothing about it.
You know, there are two points to this. One thing, I'm going to be so fascinated by what the final numbers on this are. And what I'm seeing right now, and again, polls are polls, is that this will pass with over 60%, with a high voter turnout. Now, that might not happen, but that's what I'm hearing. Now, if that does happen, why that will fascinate me is that we are a state that tends to be Republican. We have far more registered Republicans in this state than we do Democrats. We have not elected a Democratic governor since Governor Strickland, which has been well over a decade ago. He was a one-term governor. We have not voted as a state for a Democrat since Barack Obama, which has been over 8 years ago. And all of our state offices right now are held by Republicans, except Sherrod Brown. He's the lone Republican who's in a state office at this point. So if this passes, and Governor DeWine nearly, I don't have the number in front of me, but he either won by 60% of the vote last year as the Republican governor, or pretty close to it, because Nan Whaley, I know, only got about 30% of the vote. I don't know what went just to undecideds, but if abortion passes in Ohio with 60% of the vote, that does mean that some of the Republicans, a good portion of the Republicans, about 10% of them or more, voted for it. And that's fascinating to me.
And I think it's a lot of its lack of understanding. If this issue passes and it becomes constitutional law, we will have, the state of Ohio will have some of the most extreme abortion laws on the books in the United States of America. I mean, you expect these things on the East and the West Coast, but it has been very cleverly packaged. The other thing to understand is how it got on there. You know, when the Republicans botched the last bill they tried to get passed, which would have changed the way that the simple majority to 60%, and would have made all 88 counties sign before something can get on a ballot. This opened the door for it. I think they blew the way they did it. But the point being that, here's the thing. Now, the reason you're seeing this passing is because we have 40 counties which are deciding our elections are either in or closely surrounding the large metropolitan areas of the state of Ohio. What we essentially have done, we have taken the voice away from rural America completely. And that includes Marion, Ohio, because Marion, Ohio is a dot on the map compared to a major metropolitan area.
Well, and that's what's interesting to me about this whole thing is Governor DeWine did not win Franklin County. Governor DeWine didn't win Cincinnati. Governor DeWine didn't win Toledo. Governor DeWine didn't win Cleveland. But he won I think it's 80.
Well, it's because, Scott, that you have to understand that during an election, when you're voting for a governor, most people go out and vote. And when we have that big of a turnout throughout all the rural counties, honestly, if the people in the rural counties would be as adamant about voting as they are in the metropolitan areas, you'd see things swing a lot more conservative. But the problem is we have so many people that just say, it will be what it is. You can't get away with that when you're a smaller county You don't have as many people, and every vote in your county needs to count.
Well, that's what's interesting to me about this, and was interesting to me about the special election back in August, is that 12,000 people in Marion County turned out for a special election. I don't think that's ever happened. Voter turnout was huge.
Right, but here's the thing. It was huge here, but 12,000 people is a drop in the bucket compared to Franklin County, Cuyahoga County.
And I agree with you 100%. But I guess what I'm saying is that if the other rural counties, which they say there's going to be huge voter turnout all across the state, turn out like Marion will, I think we're going to have 20,000 people voting that night. 20,000 people is about four times what it normally should be in this election. So if we have high voter turnout and these things still pass by 60%, what happened?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it's the fear factor. You know, telling people, do you realize that if you have a miscarriage, you can't get treatment? That's a lie, but it scares people. It scares people. You know, when you have people on there, you know, a lot of people, this is a faith issue to me, and this is certainly a moral issue. But when you have a guy come on there claiming to be a pastor and how this is the right thing, for crying out loud, you know, I don't attack individuals personally, but I'll tell you what, a pastor is supposed to be someone, at least in the Christian faith, is supposed to be somebody that knows and studies the Word of God and don't take it upon themselves to reinterpret what it says. But when you have people doing that, and people, I grew up in church. Well, you know what? Did you really grow up in church? Here's the deal. Even people that go to church their entire lives, half the time it's 1 hour, one day a week. Now think about that. That's not being raised in church. You're still being raised in the world. But these are hot button quick bites that people listen. Oh yeah, well listen. Oh yeah, well a pastor endorses us. You know, and people that don't stop to try and be informed. You know, a lot of people are going to look at this down the road and they're going to go, wow, I had no idea this was going on with my kid. That's right, because you don't have a right to know anymore. I had no idea my kid was getting this treatment. That's right, because you don't have it's completely taken out of your hands. And people don't realize what they're losing if this bill passes. I mean, there's a lot to be lost with parents that you're not going to get it back. This is going to be a safe haven for people that want to circumvent what a parent is allowed to do and can do, and your voice goes out the window. But anyway, I wanted to put that out there. I want you guys to think about it. If you haven't been to the polls, think about it. Hey, if they want to come back to the table and bring a discussion at a later date and work on this thing, you know, that needs to be done. That's how a democratic society works, is in that way. But this bill is a huge overreach, and it's cleverly done. And if this passes, if this issue passes, and we change our state constitution, guys, there's no going back. Just want to give you a heads up on that. You know, you don't have to agree with everything in the current law for to say no on this bill.
Well, and the only other thing I want to say about this, but this also applies to issue two, by the way, for people out there listening.
Excuse me.
Yeah, what I have noticed is that, and it's not about these two issues, but it does apply to them. I have noticed that there are a lot of people who are going to vote on these issues. This is the first time in my life, and I have seen presidential elections, as you have. I have seen elections. I mean, we have them every year, local, state. Have you ever seen, because they always say, well, younger people are turning out, younger people are registering. I've actually seen it this time. There are times when it's happening, one or two people I might have seen it happening with. I have seen it. I have had more people come up to me because they know I'm in radio covering elections who are under the age of 30 who have said, do you know where I vote? How do I find that information out? This is happening now. Now, is that the driver of it? I don't know.
Well, you have to understand, too, that we're into several generations now, especially this generation, that have been groomed educationally and through health class and everything else from a young age to believe that infants are just blobs when they're up to a certain point, and that you have your rights that transcends everything else. And what about, you know, the one that everybody gets a choice when you're pro-choice, but the infant. They have no choice in whether they're aborted or not. And to an aborted child, oh my word, I don't want to even get into the disgusting what late-term abortion is. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever held a newborn baby, but yet would be okay to abort that child a week earlier? you know, that is what this law will open the door and allow. And that's not a scare tactic. That's just a fact.
Well, and that's kind of what I was going for here is these young people are registering. What I have noticed is, and like I said, applies to these two issues, but it's not exactly what I'm talking about here. But I have noticed recently that when people try to educate young people or just talk about an issue, no matter what it is, people come down very heavy-handed on young people. And young people right now, and again, I'm talking mostly here, probably 18 to 25. When they talk to these people, because I work with a lot of those people in public, and I see a lot of those people at school, and when adults talk to them, they either talk to them like their children, which they do not like.
Or like they're stupid.
Or they're very heavy-handed in their issue, and I can see their eyes turning off. Now, if they would sit there and have a dialogue with them like we're doing right here, mm-hmm. I think something might get through. But when you come down that heavy-handed...
I think a lot of that is born out of frustration that things have changed so rapidly. I really do. There was a time that, look, 20 years ago, an issue like this would have never made the ballot.
And well, it is shocking to me whether people think I'm for it or against it, or they're for or against it. I never did think I'd see the day we'd be voting on abortion.
Exactly. There's my point. And to see that we're in a place in our country that we have had such extreme moral decline that people just don't think. It the same thing goes, now it's when we start morphing into our other subject. The same thing goes for, I'm just appalled and blown away by the fact that no one seems to be, they're up in arms about an issue like this, but no one's up in arms about the issue of the children and the human trafficking that's going on right under our noses. Thousands and thousands, and by the tens of thousands, constantly are being taken and sent, and everyone says, well, it's not my kid. It's not your kid till it's your kid. You know what I mean? And people are just like, these are serious things. I shared last week that about the facility being built in Millersburg, $6.5 million facility being built to take care of kids that have, from the ages of 14 to 18, that have been rescued out of human sex trafficking. Did you ever think you'd see the day when they would build a $6.5 million facility in Millersburg, Ohio, to take care of kids that have been pulled out of sex trafficking in the United States of America? If this doesn't tell you that we've been in an unbelievable moral decline in this country, and the moral decline, you know, let me tell you something. The people trafficking these kids and the people that are using them and selling them are not teenagers. And young people, these are people your age and my age that are spending their dollars to destroy the lives of young children.
But don't you think the moral decline in the country, and I think everybody, whether or not they're a part of the moral decline or not, would agree that there is a moral decline. Don't you think a lot of that is stemming from the fact that anybody who even points it out now is considered a scold? You know,
yes.
Maybe you shouldn't have.
Or an extremist.
Yeah, shouldn't have too many. Maybe you could have one drink, but don't go have 10. Maybe you can date, but don't date 7 people. But that's a scold now. Don't tell me how to live my life.
Well, you can chalk that up to The View.
Is that where it all comes from?
The View. In my opinion,
I didn't.
The View and places like it, because people feed on this stuff. And they listen to it, and gradually, that's what always happens in any country in the world that's ever had a moral decline. What happens is there's always gradually a slide. It doesn't happen instantly. It's kind of like the old story about sitting a frog in boiling water. He'd jump out immediately, but if you slowly turn the heat up, he'll boil himself to death. Well, that's kind of the way it is. You know, a little bit at a time, and a little bit at a time, and a little bit at a time. And before you know it, everything's just acceptable. This whole thing about young people talking about hooking up. I mean, for crying out loud, it's okay. I mean, you go out on a date and you hook up with somebody, and yet that's okay because it was just, I was enjoying myself. Leave me alone.
Well, you know, the one that I see all the time, and it's still, I even where people were Even in places where people are allowed to do this, I still cringe a little bit, is language. Profanity.
It blows me away.
I am shocked that how people speak.
The other night at a football game, it was an away game, and we were backed up against the stands because our sideline was literally that short that we had to stand back against the stands. And I'm standing to the guys on the sideline. There's a kid leaning over the banister, and he has said something that I will not say on air that was so disgusting about something he would do to the players if they won in the locker room, that I turned around. I just immediately, it was just on instant response, I turned around and looked directly at him and said, "That's enough." Yeah. You know, this isn't happening here. You know, I don't want to hear anything out of your mouth like that again. I embarrassed him. But he should have been embarrassed. You know, and parents that will they'll yell the F-bomb from the stands. Oh. For crying out loud, there's 2 and 3-year-old kids sitting there. What is wrong in our society that it's so okay to use words that we consider to be, first of all, we used to say that, you know, well, what comes out of your mouth really is a reflection of who you are. You know, people with intelligence can intelligently speak without having to bring the most gutter. People have always blown their gasket and used some foul language, but the gutter language today that's being used, once again, it goes back to kind of a moral decline.
Well, you know the funny thing to me about language is that you will have people who, when they are in a position where they should not do it, they don't. So it is...
It's controllable.
It is very controllable.
Very controllable.
And yet... they choose not to. When they're around their friends, or they're at home, or they're with somebody, you know, I know somebody.
When it's cool,
right? Well, and I know somebody, and I'm not trying to condemn them, but I see them in a social setting. Now, when they are with me, they'll use that language. I've never seen them use that language with anybody else in that social setting. Now, they'll use it with me because I think they're comfortable with me. I assume that's what it is. I don't know what other reason there would be, but anybody else in that group, and there are probably 20 other people in that group, I've never seen them use it in front of them. I've never seen them use it to them. And it's the same place.
You just promote the worst in people, Scott.
I guess I do. I bring it out.
You know, and here's the thing that gets me. You know, a teacher can spend all day in a classroom and never use it. I mean, they wouldn't. They would get in trouble, right?
Right.
But they go outside of the classroom and the students see them. There's the other thing that we have to understand is we double standards are being acceptable today. You know, I got one thing I do here, and double standards should never be acceptable because you should be who you are 24 hours a day, not change depending on who you're around. Let's get back to, I did want to talk about getting tarred with the same brush because honestly, it can be a warning thing, but it can be a very bad thing. And my point is, you know, your parents always say, you know, if you hang around with bad kids, you're going to get a reputation as a bad kid, even if you don't deserve it. But the truth is that, you know, if you're hanging around those bad kids all the time, there's a reason you're hanging around those bad kids, and why is it? You know, it's that being tarred with the same brush thing. But it's a very interesting. Our church, we belong to the State Convention of Baptists in Ohio, which is an affiliate of the Southern Baptist Association. Now, I've often advocated many times for... they have talked about in the past changing the name of the association because with that name comes this connotation of Old South. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. I mean, I don't think Old South's even Old South anymore. But up north, some churches that would surprise you that I could say would be in our same association would be Life Point Church, the new Life Point Church. Another one would be Genoa over by... Sunbury. No one would ever guess they're in that affiliation. But I thought it was really funny. A lady told me the other day that a lady had come to our church. She enjoyed the service, but she walked out and she sat on the bottom of the sign, SBC under our name, and she said, "I'll never go back to that place," because she had been to a church that they had rules you had to follow and things you had to sign that you wouldn't do A, B, or C. And you know, it's kind of funny because I believe that moral character is so important. I don't think that any church should be listing particular sins that people won't do for the simple fact that, what do you do, list all of them?
Well, and this happens all the time in broadcasting. I mean, not by people who are, I think, I hate to use the word intelligent because I don't want to say that people are dumb who think this, but because you have a guest on who promotes something they don't like, all of a sudden the host apparently believes what the guest does. Well, that's not true.
Well, you know, in our association, there's a couple things that there's several things that the reason that we chose to be in that, and one of them is that their statement of faith we firmly believe in. It's very biblically and doctrinally sound. Another thing is they are there for a lot of support issues if one is needed. That isn't an out of cost pocket to us. We're kind of umbrellaed under their 501c3. But what the main thing that most people don't realize, and they're so used to, in many churches you go to, the church association tells you who the pastor is going to be, how much they're going to get paid, what you're going to teach, on down the line. We are completely autonomous in that area. A matter of fact, we don't even have to give to their cooperative program if we don't want to. You can be part of them and never give them a dime. But one of the main reasons that we did become part of them is because of the cooperative program, and it worldwide it helps so many people. And the thing is, the missionaries that go to the mission field under them, and if you're familiar with missionaries, typically every 4 years, missionaries come home, they catch a breather, and they go around, and they don't really catch a breather because they're raising support to get back to the mission field to raise support for them to do it. In this situation, the association pays their salary and they don't have to do that. So when they do come home on furlough, they actually get a break to visit family, be with family. They don't have to worry about raising support constantly or losing their position in the mission field because they lose support. So I think it's very important. That's a wonderful thing that they do. And they're one of the first in worldwide, the SBC are the first church on scene in any disaster anywhere. You know, they partnered with a lot of people don't know they partner with the Salvation Army and the Red Cross at every major disaster there is. The Red Cross and the Salvation Army usually provide a lot of the funding, and then the SBC provides the boots on the ground, the training, the people that man all that stuff, the mud out units, the people that the daycare, communications, laundry. So the point is, there's reasons that you belong to things, but people can look at three little letters on a sign and tar you with something that you had nothing to do with at a church they went to 20 years earlier, or maybe something they said to them, and it's kind of like, folks, look, I'm an American. Does that mean that that every American is alike? No, of course it doesn't. But we so easily, and unfortunately, we even see this, Scott, and it's on both sides politically. We see this, boy, if they can dig up something that you were ever affiliated with, something that they can put dirt on, oh, wow. I'll give you a good example. The John Birch Society. There's an old name, isn't it? The John Birch Society. They got ran up a flagpole clear back in the 60s because they claimed to be racist and a number of different things. And the point is that the society has never gotten away from it. They've never gotten good. And what they actually do, I mean, someone wanted me to join at one point, and I went to a few of their meetings. I even spoke at a couple for Christmas. They didn't have me back after the second one, I guess. And you know why? Because you know what I told them? I said, if you guys are going to survive as a group and you're going to stand for liberty and justice and all the things that you do, I said, you've got to start cooperating with more people and more groups and being so isolated. And you might even think about a name change, because even as old as you are, when you mention that, and you know, anyone that's old enough, oh man, those guys are extremists there, sometimes you do have to morph a little bit and change your name. I know that in our association one time they had considered changing the name to the Great Commission Baptist, just to shed that whole thing. And unfortunately, people do tar you with the same brush.
Oh, they absolutely do. And that, to me, has always been one of the biggest mistakes. You know, I don't even know what I'm frightened right now because Pastor ordered up my least favorite things in the world have approached the studio for the first time this season.
Well, you better tell them what it is.
Oh, it's a Claxton fruitcake. Those awful Claxton. You like those?
You know, they were my mom's favorite. And yeah, when I was a kid, I worked at a gas station. And maybe this is what happened. Maybe this is why I'm so short. But when I was a kid, one of my first jobs at a gas station, they had a convenience store next door. And I would go over there and I'd buy a Claxton fruitcake and a quart or a pint of chocolate milk, and that would be my dinner. And it probably wasn't very good.
Oh, and people, let me just be honest with you. The display went out at Kroger just a couple days ago, and it's half gone at this point. People love these things. That's why there are none of them at Christmas time. If you wait till Christmas time, they won't be there.
They won't be there. You have to order them. You like them too, huh? Matt's sitting over here with one in his lap.
I've honestly never had a fruitcake.
You know, they really...
That's all. You got to get ready for the fruitcake.
You got to get ready for the fruitcake, Tush. Shame on you. You're going to beat up a good fruitcake. Man.
Yeah, well, by the way, entries start for that November the 1st, so get ready for that.
Yeah.
But back to what you were saying here.
Now, someone's going to take that little soundbite where I said, shame on you beating up a good fruit.
Well, they'll do...
And they're going to say that I was belittling someone with a little intelligence.
But you know what? It's very interesting because years ago, we were having a discussion about World War II on this station. And I said, Hitler is an awful person, a horrible person. What he did to the Jewish people was terrible. I made that very, very, very clear. But I did say, you have to say that Hitler was brilliant when it came to military, because what he was able to do with that's what I said. So somebody took the clip of me saying Hitler is brilliant, another radio station in town, and ran that on their station all constantly, every hour. I was on there, and it labeled me, Scott Spears from WWGH Radio, saying Hitler is brilliant.
Hitler is brilliant.
Hitler's brilliant. So there you go.
And please, once again, here's the thing is, people have an obligation just to themselves to get it right. You know,
yes.
You know, pay attention to the whole context and what's being said. It is so easy to cherry pick. And they do this. They even do this on some of the Christian radio stations. You know, you don't like a certain denomination, a certain pastor, a certain... They'll cherry pick words out of what they say and say, did you know that so-and-so said this? Well, if you read the whole article or interview of what they really did, you'll see, well, that's not what they meant.
This is why I have always said, for exactly what you just said, that live radio is better than newspapers, because newspapers will pick what they want out. And
yeah, but you were on radio, and they still picked it.
they did, but live. Live, can't. We're getting a call here. Yeah. Pastor D, you want to put the headphone on there so you can hear what the caller has to say here?
Yeah, sure.
All right, go ahead, caller.
Hey, we're allowed to call in and talk to you on this show, too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, good morning, everybody. I was listening to about the cherry-picking part, and that's so wrong and despicable. But that reminds me of, in our church, what we say about the devil. And, I mean, obviously, he's our enemy. As Christians, he's our enemy. But we have to acknowledge the fact he's a very hard worker.
The devil's a hard worker, but the enemy is what she was saying. Pastor Whitaker just got the headphone on.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Bible tells us he's like a roaring lion, going all over the earth seeking
who
maybe
he
devour.
May devour.
And he's
and so it's like obviously we're not saying anything good about the devil. You know, we're not trying to depict him in any kind of a good light. But the simple truth is, our pastor's always telling us, he's doing a good enough job all by himself. We don't need to help him. He's a hard worker.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's interesting. I try to tell this with young people, too. I deal with a lot of young people. And, you know, there's a thing today that it seems kind of cool to court the devil, if you know what I mean. A lot of the black and the satanic things and the people think it's kind of cute. But I don't think that they understand how much he hates them.
Exactly.
And especially young ladies, how much he despises young women and wants to destroy not just their life now, but any hope in the future of a good life. And this is public enemy number one, and I think that people don't realize that.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm a Christian, so you're preaching to the choir, but in my opinion, and that's just my little humble opinion, I think without Jesus Christ in your corner, leading you, protecting you, and guiding you, you would be as a defenseless kitten against the wiles of the enemy.
No, obviously. Yeah, absolutely. And therein lies the problem. So the answer is not political. The answer is not social. The answer is spiritual, and it's a change of heart.
Well, one more thing there for my little church, and then I'll hop off here. Don't put your faith and trust in the R or the D. Put it in the Lamb.
There you go. Gotcha. Hey, thank you for calling in.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
All right. Very good call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is where we are in society right now, though. People will paint you with the same brush as other people, and I am not really sure why we feel the need to do that. But it's done in social settings. You know, if you don't turn your back on somebody who has done something bad when they need you the most, well, then you're as awful as they are.
Yeah, really, really. I think that, once again, we've talked about this other another subject on here a lot, and it's called love and compassion. And we need to have love and compassion for people. We need to be a forgiving people and have a forgiving spirit. All of us have flaws. All of us make mistakes. We need to be there to... I think, though, one of the things that bothers me that... is when you really love and care for someone as an individual, and you put them first, you try to lift them out of where they're at and help them get out of where they're at, and then when they get on their feet, they just blow you off and go to the next best thing. And man, have I seen that. You know, pastors, it breaks our heart because you love those people and they become part of you emotionally. I mean, they do. Your congregation does. Your flock does. You get emotionally attached and involved in their lives. And then out of the clear blue, they'll just decide that they just, you know, want to do something different or stop coming. I find it interesting that if someone doesn't come to church for a period of time, and I don't call them, do you know that I was gone 6 weeks and no one even checked on me? But it's very interesting, those same people will never contact you and they think that's okay.
Well, and this
isn't
is
that interesting?
Well, this is problematic and emblematic of a bigger problem, I guess is what I should say, is that people in general, you could be around somebody every day of your life, for years. And if something happens, who knows what it is, something happens, communication is completely cut off. Now, I'm not saying you have to talk to that person every day of your life, but maybe every couple weeks, you know, how are you doing? The fact that you could do that, that you could cut somebody out totally and not even say how they're doing, and a lot of these people do have health problems, and you can't even say how you're doing anymore for whatever reason, boy, you know, this is a character defect.
Yeah, I really, it's hard sometimes when you have as many people to check on as I do, and I'm sure that I drop the ball. But usually when I realize I drop the ball, I pick it up pretty quick. But I was just saying, you know, a lot of people will just, we talked about, right, Matt, they'll ghost you.
They'll ghost.
Yeah, they'll just ghost you. So all of a sudden they're gone. And it's like, are you kidding me? This is a person that sits in your office and is bawling 1 minute and you're helping them, doing everything you can, and they become so heavy on your heart that you're spending a lot of mental time and love and care for them and doing anything you can to help them, and then they just ghost you.
You know, I've come to find out, though, and I'm certainly not giving them any credit for doing that or saying that that's what they should do. I'm not endorsing it. But I really think it's they can no longer handle it. They have some kind of an emotional attachment to what you're doing or who you are or something that if they see you, they cannot have a normal friendship, association, whatever you want to call it.
They feel guilty.
They must.
It's guilt.
What else would it be?
The other thing, too, is I want people to understand this about me, and we're about
we got, let's see, we're 6 minutes.
6 minutes. One thing I want people to understand me, if anyone's out there that knows me and listens to this, don't ever feel guilty about coming up to me and, look, I'm one of those guys that I can start with a clean slate anytime you want. That's just the way I am. I let bygones be bygones. I put them behind me. No one ever needs to feel guilty when they come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, you know I haven't been around 6 months or 8 months or whatever. You know, okay, that's fine. Let's start today and let's just be where we're at.
And how freeing is it sometimes if you have had that distance from somebody for whatever reason, be it right or wrong, whether it's you or them or whatever it is, to call them up or make contact with them in some way, because we have a lot of ways to do that in the technological world, and just say, listen, I'm sorry. I handled that badly. That was my fault. And hopefully we can continue life now on a better setting. Do you know the weight that that lifts off those people's chests?
Anytime you clear the air with people, it does that.
And of course it does.
And no matter who it is or no matter what the situation is, when you clear the air, it gives a little lighter bounce to your step.
And you know what? And I will, because a lot of people, I think, don't do it because they're afraid the other person won't forgive them or won't go along with it. And it, that does happen. But it still gets the weight off your chest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So why not do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a very important thing to do. So what do you got planned this week?
You know, this week, we're getting closer to the election, so that's coming up. There's a lot going on with that. We did the Big River Valley levies yesterday, and I know they're in a bind out there trying to get those passed.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's coming up. Of course, a lot going on in the city. You know what's interesting, and I'm not going to talk party-wise or who it was, so you just have had to have listened to this show, but we had a major local politician on this week who, interestingly enough, when I asked that person how they were going to vote in a particular race, they would not answer. Now, so many people have speculated to me that's because they're not going to vote their party. That's why they wouldn't answer it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. You're right. I don't know if it is either, but I'll tell you, it is interesting because usually if you're a prominent politician in a town, people know who you are, and people assume that you're going to vote for that party in that particular race. When this person would not say that, people immediately thought that they're...
Yeah, don't they usually?
Yeah, well, and there's an association thing.
Real quick, tonight is first round of playoffs. Elgin is hosting their first playoff game, their first round at Elgin. I'm excited about that, and I'll be on the sidelines and with the boys. And what a wonderful – I'm just thrilled for them. This team, I'm telling you what, out of all the teams I've seen over the years, not that I don't love every one of you, but this team, these guys gel unbelievably well. They're a good. They're actually the epitome of the word team.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And coming up next here on the station, we've got Bob Welsh, who's here with us, and Eric, who are going to, we're having pumpkin pizza in celebration of autumn.
Wow. Okay. You guys have fun with that, will you?
Now, we had pumpkin pie pizza last Thanksgiving, and it was very good.
Well, you know, I love most things pumpkin, but this one sounds new to me.
And we're going to try it first on the air coming up in the next hour. So stay tuned for that.
Take care, everyone.
2 minutes. We still got 2 minutes.
Oh, great. If that's the case, we've got Team Kids for Christ every other Tuesday. It'll be this coming Tuesday. We meet at the KP Hall on 209 East Water Street is where we're at. And then two doors west of us is the KP Hall. They meet at 6:30, and that goes to 8 o'clock. And that is for preschoolers all the way through 5th grade. From 6th grade through high school, I meet over at the church for pizza with Pastor. We just talk about general discussions that have anything to do with kids. By the way, last weekend, we had the Trail Life Jamboree, the Daniel Boone camping jamboree over in Johnstown. There were around 1,500 boys there camping in tents. It was wonderful. They had events and just loved it. We sent a great group of kids over. If your boys are interested in trail life at all, please contact the church. It's 740-494-2222. We'll get you plugged into trail life, and it's a great time, and so many activities and neat things going on. I just want to throw a plug out there.
And do want to remind everybody that this show can be heard every Friday morning live from 9:15 until 10 a.m. and we do take calls at 740-383-9944. You can catch it on the website wwgh1071.com. It's under program archives, first show there. Go to Facebook later on in the afternoon on Fridays, and it's usually the show right up there. Picture of Pastor Whitaker and myself. The link is there. You can listen to the show there or catch it Sunday mornings, 8 a.m., or Wednesday and Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. 5 seconds.
5 seconds. Hey, you guys have a blessed week. Attend church this weekend. Love to see you at 209 East Water Street. We're a community Christian fellowship, and Start this the first day of the rest of your life.
Make we it wrap up, one. I'll ask, and you can or can't. Can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same.